From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
She came behind me and she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, could you tell the people with New Hope bumper stickers to watch how they drive? I said, well, what do you mean? Well, one of them about cut me off the other day. And then she makes this blatant generalization. They're some of the worst drivers I've ever seen in my life. Well, the first thing I did was to make sure that that car that cut her off wasn't a four-door green Honda.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, the conclusion of a message we began yesterday, a message entitled, In Our Redeemer's Image. At the end of today's message, Pastor Wayne is going to lead the people of New Hope in communion. We invite you to follow along. Just have some bread and juice ready and join us in the Lord's Supper later on this program. Now, here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, In Our Redeemer's Image.
This is my blessings line. Oh, people just line up for blessings. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And they're just pushing each other. Bless me, bless me. We all want God's blessing. God, God, we start lobbying for God's blessings. Oh, God, give me a blessing. Maybe two, maybe three. Oh, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Glory to God, bless me, bless me. And God, if you bless me, well, God, I'll go back to church. If you bless me, oh God, I'll stop beating my wife and beating my kids and kicking my dog. God, I promise. And God, if you give me like a big house, I promise I'll use it like for a Bible study group once a year. And oh God, if you give me a nice car, I'll pick somebody up on the way to church. Oh, God, if you just give me a nice car. And God, if you help me win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, well, I'll give some of that money for the church to build a church. Oh, God. And we're just vying for it. I mean, we read books on blessings. We read, you know, we have flashcards on blessings. God, bless me this way. Bless me right. Bless me left. Bless me up. Bless me down. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. We just, man, that's the thing. But it's like God is saying, okay, all right, I understand that. But now I've got some problems here to pass out. And that line is empty. There's no takers. He said, well, Wayne, what do you mean about problems? Well, it's sort of like God has a paper and says, I've got someone here that needs some help. You see, he's got some immaturities that he has to work through. His name is Joe, and he can't quite do it on his own, but if someone will be patient with him and mentor him and disciple him, it'll take a little while, but we can turn what would have been impoverished and lost in this man that is immature with some help. He'll be quite a guy. Any takers? No takers. Okay. I have another one here. It's another problem in the kingdom, and that's someone who is a young leader, and he's really awkward, and he makes a lot of mistakes and puts both feet in his mouth sometimes and says things that embarrass people. But he really wants to change, and if someone would help him, this guy can, just this whole situation can get redeemed. Any takers? No. Okay. Let's see. Here's a disabled person that just needs attention, and this person just doesn't feel he or she is very valuable, and it's going to take a little bit of work, but we can really redeem this. And any note takers? And God has a stack of these. You see, everybody's over here in the blessing line because we want to steward God's blessings. But where the image of the Redeemer will be seen most clearly to the world is not in the blessing line, it's in the problem line. When we are willing to take that which would have been problems and redeem it by His grace, and ask God, Lord, would you work through me? You see, that's where God's redemptive heart is seen the most. But we have a tendency to shuck and jive and go around problems and cut people and just remove any type of problem. We just don't want problems. No wonder we don't see God's grace flowing, His strength being deposited and released. And we don't see the image of God in the churches as much as we could. And the people in the world say, oh, those Christians, they're not really redeemers. Because they handle problems just like I do. But God is saying, can I entrust my image to you, the image of the Redeemer? Would you be in my image, the image of the Redeemer? And you're going to be presented with problems. But ask me. And when you are willing to let the Redeemer's image in you out, then you will see that I will flood you with my grace, flood you with my resources, flood you with my power, and the people of the world will see the heart of the Redeemer in this church. Some time ago, Aaron, when he was younger, he was playing baseball, and the first stage of baseball is what they call T-ball, where you put the ball on a little tee, and they hit it off the tee. The second stage you graduate to is called coach pitch, where the coach of your own team pitches to his own kids. And then the third stage they graduate is Little League, where the opposing team pitches to the other players. Well, Aaron was in the secondary strata here in coach pitch. Only problem was, our coach was just the worst coach in the world. I mean, like he was blind. He was pitched so poorly, he'd bean our own kids. Oh, sorry. Oh, and the parents are going, oh, no, that's the third kid he hit today. I mean, it was that bad. Or he'd throw it so bad, the kids are trying. They're like 9-year-old, 8-year-old. The kids are trying to hit the ball on the second bounce. Boom, boom. Oh, sorry, I'll try another one. You know, I'm just so bad. Well, one day I rallied the parents together and said, let's go to this game. We got to find out. I mean, if this coach isn't removed and we don't get a better coach, man, we're gonna have dysfunctional kids, you know, because of this coach beaning them. So we all gathered there. And right before the game, the coach came with a clipboard and said, excuse me, could I have one of you parents keep score today? And I didn't get a scorekeeper. And I thought, oh, there he is, disorganized. There's one thing I'm going to tell the commissioner, it's disorganized. So I said, yeah, I keep score. So he said, oh, good, Mr. Cordero, would you keep score? I said, okay. So I took the book and went up. And right behind the home plate, there's a spiral staircase that goes to a little booth that overlooks the diamond. And it's a good vantage point so scorekeepers can see what's going on. And there you keep score. Not only was it a good vantage point to keep score, but I could see everything he did wrong. Because after a while, I started making a list of all of his blunders because I needed proof to take to the commissioner that this guy really needed to be removed and pronto. And so I'd watch him, you know, bean kids. Oh, man, that's fourth kid killed today. And he'd put kids in the wrong position. And it was just so bad. And I wrote all of these things down. And I had about 9 or 10 things. And after the game was about done, I thought, man, this is plenty of proof to take to the commissioner. Finally, the game was over, thank goodness, because it was like 32-0, and it was just an embarrassing game to boot. Now, as I'm going down, armed with this list now, I'm going down the spiral staircase, and it was like as if the Lord met me on the way down. Have you ever had God do that when he stops you and you realize how foolish you are? What am I doing? I am going to kill this guy with this list. I'm going to ruin his future. And I'm rallying parents I'm using my leadership gift to rally parents to sink this guy's ship. I thought, oh God, what am I doing? And just within a nanosecond, it's like God revealed a ream of information. I mean, have you ever had that just within a second? It's like you realize something you never realized before. It's God just poured it into you. And then God said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, Wayne, I showed you those problems of that coach. I did. I let you see them. But I did not let you see them so that you would steward it poorly in such a way that you take it out against this guy. I showed you this thing so that you would be able to see where he needs help. So that you would use your leadership gifts to rally parents to help him because he's doing it all alone. When was the last time, he said to me, when was the last time you used your leadership gift to rally parents to help him in any of the practices? Did you ever go, Wayne, and help him? Did you ever go and volunteer to shag balls or help kids hit? Or did any of you parents that can throw a little better become an assistant coach so that you can pitch correctly without the kids getting beaned and the death toll will drop? Do you ever think about that? I thought, no. Then it's like he switched to the church. Because I was a young pastor then, and he said to me, Wayne, if I show you the problems in people's lives, in their marriages and their personality and their character. And if you use it against them rather than for them, if you see the problems that I show you in other people's lives, if you look at their problems as a critic would a new film, so that he can critique that film, then I will not show you the problems of the bride of Christ, the church, because you can't steward problems well. But instead, if I show you problems and instead of seeing it as a critic, you see it as a doctor would a diagnosis. And when you see the problems in this patient, you use that information to know how to bring healing and wholeness and recuperation rather than criticism and destruction and debilitating. How will you steward the problems? If you see it as a physician would, then you will be moving in the image of the great physician and you will redeem what I show you. Or you will move more towards the image of the accuser of the brethren when you receive these problems that I show you. And the accuser of the brethren is the adversary of our souls. What are you going to do? How are you going to steward these? Then he said this, if you will not steward them well, then I will never show you the true needs of the church because you can't handle them and you'll use it to destroy them. But if you will steward the problems well, I will give you my image, the image of a redeemer, and you'll begin to see miracles come out of what would have just seemed hopeless before. And I tell you, that radically changed my life. I mean, the whole destiny of my ministry changed on those spiral stairs going down. You see, when God shows us problems, we can do one of three things with it. Number one, when I see a problem in my family or a person's family or this guy or that guy, I can do one of three things. Number one, I can gossip about it. Hey, let me tell you what happened with Rick the other day. You know what he said? Oh man, it's so good. You gotta catch this. He said, go tell somebody else. Go tell him. And gossip just spreads like gangrene. Or we can use it as ammunition. We hear something about Rick. Oh, really? Rick did that? Oh, man. Then the next day, oh, yeah, you see what Rick is doing there? Oh, yeah, I see. And we build this ammunition stack of torpedoes. And then one day, let's say just Rick just tries to reach for humor and doesn't quite reach and doesn't get it. And so instead of being something humorous, it's a little more cutting than it would be funny. And it hurts you a little bit. And then just then you pull out your torpedo magazine. And you say, hey, don't be telling me stuff like that. I got enough ammunition here to sink your ship. You want me to just tell everybody what you really like? Well, what do you mean? Yeah, I'll just tell them. You want to know? I did. You want me to tell them? I'll start now because I can just do it right now and you'll be finished. Go ahead. Try to be funny. And then let me at them. Then I'll tell them what you really like. Go. Talk. And we just use it to destroy one another, waiting for opportune moments as the devil would to destroy, to seek, to kill, to destroy. Or the third is, we can steward those problems well. That when God shows you the problem with a wife or a husband or a child or a friend or even a leader, now the point is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be in the Redeemer's image and redeem it, pray through that, ask God for wisdom? How can I turn this into something that would be redemptive, oh God? Or will I use it to destroy or to gossip as ammunition? You see, the choice is ours. As we take communion today, my prayer is that each of us will make a conscious decision in New Hope to be redeemers, small r, that is after our Redeemer, big R, his image. That his image will be in us and that we will steward it well. Situations that would have otherwise been lost or even lethal, but with God's help and having been created in his image, we've been given the invitation to be stewards of his problems. You see, some of you, when you leave this place, you're going to be faced with a problem. You're going to be faced with a challenge. What are you going to do? But God's fingerprints are in our life to redeem these things. And when you say, Lord, that's the tilt of my heart, watch now His image start to be seen in you. His power begin to flow through, His insight, His wisdom, because He's found a vessel that's willing to steward His image, the image in which we were created. Instead of lopping into the accuser's image, we say, no, I'm going to take this path and I want to be in your image, Lord, the image of the Redeemer. How can I redeem this? Some of you might be here today and you're facing problems in your family. And you so need God's strength to help you to forgive. Well, that's what the cup is all about that you're about to take. To give you strength to forgive, to retain that Redeemer's image. Because often forgiveness is a prerequisite for redemption to take place. This is the cup of the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink it, remember in whose image you have been created. Some of you may be dealing with something that has been broken, and you need God's help just for healing to take place. And that's what the broken bread is all about that you'll take in a few moments. And after having supped, He took bread, broke it. Having given thanks, He said, "This is my body which is broken for you. As oft as you eat it, remember." Remember what? Remember that my body was broken on the cross and I took your wrongdoings, as Galatians 3:13 says, and redeemed you. I took that which was broken, that was presented to me broken. And it resulted in redemption. Take the same bread, God is saying, and remember in whose image you were created, because you're going to receive broken things. What are you going to do with it now? And if you will let the Redeemer's image out, you will see what great things God can do. You see, Jesus saw our faults on the cross and bore them so that we might be redeemed. I think today He's asking each of us to make an intentional choice, a new hope, to do the same when we're faced with the same kinds of situations. Let's let communion be our response to say, yes, Lord, we'll be willing to be people in your image. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Thank you, O Redeemer, for taking even the wretched course of my soul and my life and converting it, redeeming it into something of greater value. And now as we take communion, would you let some of your image fall afresh on us? In our families, when we're faced with problems, help us to redeem what would have been used against us and turn it around. By your grace, turn it into something that'll be good. Because your DNA is to redeem. Let it be ours as well. Some of us here will be faced with challenges as soon as we leave this place. But we commit and covenant with you to steward not only your blessings, but also the problems that you entrust to us. Because you must believe in us to entrust to us the problems of the kingdom. So give us the strength to forgive as we take the cup, the power to bring wholeness as we take the broken bread. For as we do, we partake of you. And we move more closely back into your image, the image of our Redeemer. So thank you for taking us back to the cross, to Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take the bread and the cup and hold it as Tiffany sings, and then we'll all take it together in just a moment.
It's Calvary. They don't notice that. Lord stops to look or stare as I look upon the hill. I see something so unreal. I see my Savior nailed to the cross. Did it all for me right here. Pouring in his eyes, there was weeping at his feet. I fell and worshipped on my knees at Calvary.
Take the cup, the bread. Let's pray. Lord, as we take this cup and this bread, we make an intentional covenant with you to be people after our Redeemer's image. That we will take what you show us and steward it well, Lord. That we will see the problems that you reveal to us in our lives and especially other people's lives. We'll look at it not as a critic would, but as a physician would, in order to bring wholeness and healing, restoration. Lord, we want to be more in your image, the image of a Redeemer. And so, Father, we remember the blood that you shed on the cross when you took our wrongdoing and stewarded that well. The result, redemption. And you extend to us that cup that would be that of forgiveness, so that we could do the same and be in your image in every day. How you took broken lives to the cross and redemption was the result because you stewarded them well as the Redeemer. So too we take this bread, Lord, that is broken, and we receive this so that we'll be reminded of whose image we were created in. Now may we live that every day to represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take the bread and the cup. Would you let the Lord's message of this morning's sermon just sink deep into your heart? And let's ask the Lord to let it just sort of roll around in us. We have quick copy tapes on the outside. Sometimes it's good to pick one of those up and hear that a few times until it sinks deep, almost like watering a garden with a soak, the soaking kind of procedure that just soaks it in deeper and deeper as you let the faucet or the hose just run for a while. To hear it a few times and let it soak in so that it changes you, who you are, so that we'll be, by glory to glory, be being changed into His image. Amen.
My Redeemer lives, and I will sing His glory as He works all things together for my good.
You've been listening to a message entitled In Our Redeemer's Image by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship.
I know my Redeemer lives.
Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship Oahu. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.